Big week down in the States. Thanksgiving, three ball games on Thursday, we think, although the Thursday nighter is in jeopardy now because there is a COVID outbreak with the Ravens. And the Sunday nighter is a battle of the NFC North, Bears at Lambeau, taking on the Packers. And Catherine Tappan from NBC, a reporter and host, and we all know her from the NHL on NBC. We used to see her up with us all the time,
NHL
right up here
Network.
At TSN.
Me and Noodles worked with her.
That's right. And now she's going to be on the sideline at Lambeau Field on Sunday night. That's going to be incredible. She joins us now. How you doing, Catherine?
Hi, guys. I'm good. Thanks for having me on. You know, I was kind of upset all these years you guys have had this show and you've never invited me on. I had to get on Sunday Night Football for you guys to invite me, Noodles.
That's right.
Noodles.
There's an open invitation. We weren't sure if who we had to talk to. I mean, now you're a big shot on the national TV. We weren't sure if you'd return our call. That's what it was.
You know, debatable. O'Don's easy for sure.
There you go.
How are you guys? Enough.
Yeah, we're doing well. Yeah, we were talking, well, we didn't really bring this up yet, but we were going to get into it, the fact that the ratings are skyrocketing again with football, not to put any more pressure on you, but I guess they're expecting like 20 million plus to be watching on Sunday night. Does that ever pop into your mind? Do you think it will on Sunday? It's going to be incredible to see out there at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know the big games when you do them, and you guys know this from playing in big games, but, I've done Super Bowls and not on the sideline, but certainly the pregame and the postgame, which is a humongous number to begin with. We did Notre Dame, Clemson, which brought in a big number a couple weekends ago in prime time on Saturday night. And yeah, the numbers are big for Sunday night. It's the biggest show in network television. So, I mean, you know that going in, and you just have to, I'd say the nerves are more the exciting nerves. It's an incredible opportunity. I'm honored to be able to do it. And, you know, just stepping into Michelle Tafoya's shoes for the night, which are, you know, very challenging shoes to fill, and I don't plan on filling them, but she's she's certainly someone I've looked up to my whole career and have had the opportunity to learn from and to talk with throughout the week. So, yes, it's a huge stage, but I think, you know, we prepare the same way every week, and we'll be ready to go on Sunday. It's a great matchup, one of the most historic, if not, the oldest rivalry in the NFL, and Lambeau Field is a shrine, so it'll be really incredible to be there on Sunday night.
What's the key to being on the sidelines, KT? Obviously, you've done big games behind the desk, but when you're on the sidelines, you got to just have those nuggets there during the game where if a guy makes a play, you got to have a backstory. Just in your mind, what's the key to being on the sidelines and doing the job well?
Yeah, O-Dog, that's part of it. But I mean, I think the biggest thing for me, what was told to me very early on in my career and when I got the opportunity to do Notre Dame football 7 seasons ago on NBC, it was you have to be the eyes and the ears to the booth and to the truck. I mean, there is stuff that I'm privileged to see down there, things that, no spotter's going to see, no camera's going to pick up. And certainly, Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy calling this game on Sunday, they've got their eyes on a million things as well. So my sole responsibility, storylines aside, is to be able to provide the flavor of what's happening on the field, what players are saying, which, by the way, is a lot easier during a pandemic because there's no fans to block the noise. Maybe guys are nursing an injury on the sideline. That's constant. I always tell people it's a thankless job for sidelines because you may not see me, throughout the entire game. You maybe only see me a couple times, but I'm constantly feeding information back to the truck that is being filtered to the broadcasters. You may hear Mike Tirico say, hey, Catherine told us in the commercial break, XYZ. I mean, this is what you do, and you're just really trying to get the flavor, how guys' demeanor is, with their heads down after a play, like who's rallying the troops on the sideline. This year it's a bit different. We don't have the opportunity to go as many places as we usually do because of the social distancing and because of the rules and regulation, especially with the NFL. So that'll be different for me on Sunday. The college rules are different than the NFL rules. But the primary responsibility, you can have all the storylines in the world going into a game, but you might not get to them. And that was the case, for me with Clemson. It was tough. The play was moving so quickly. As soon as that quarterback snaps the ball, they're not coming down to me. The play is on the field, not what I have to say about whose dad I talked to during the week about certain players. So it's definitely a challenge. You're trying to get in the 10, 15 seconds I can tell a story in. You try and sneak it in when you can, but mainly make sure I see everything that's happening on that field that my colleagues don't have the opportunity to see from that vantage point.
KT, you mentioned it just briefly, and that's kind of where I wanted to head, is how is COVID really affected this, and how are you going to have to adjust? I think I saw Jared Goff get interviewed yesterday, but after the game, But it was I'm not sure who was interviewing him, but they were screaming from 20 feet away. Like, yeah. has there obviously been a little bit of adaptation here with COVID, around us?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've tried to, I interview the coaches coming out at halftime and my mask is up and you have to stay far away. It's very hard. I mean, you guys know this just from day-to-day life. You can't read lips anymore. You can't figure out certain inflections of people's faces. So that's a challenge. But typically for the post-game interview, what we will do is, the winner of the game Sunday night, whatever, quarterback or star of the game, will put the headsets on. I'm in the stands. He's on the field. And he'll put the headsets on. I've got my microphone and earpiece in, so I can hear him fine. He'll hear me fine. And we both are looking into a monitor of each other. So I'm not even looking at him in real life. I'm looking at a monitor that shows me what his, what he's saying. So that's been different. Interviewing the coaches from 6 feet apart with headsets on has been different. These are just the new ways we're working right now. And, player interviews we do throughout the week or on the field pre-kickoff when I'm trying to gather information. You can't do that anymore. It's all through Zoom. You don't get that human interaction that you normally would get when you're trying to gather really good nuggets for the game. It's been different. All of it. Life has been different. So,
yeah.
So I'm just happy I'm doing sports, you guys. I mean, I spent 4.5 months twiddling my thumbs doing Zoom shows, and it was not fun. So
yeah.
Just to be able to be on the sidelines and to do the hockey playoffs as we did without any glitches was awesome. So fingers crossed we can continue on this path and keep trending upwards.
With Catherine Tappan from NBC Sports, she'll be a part of the broadcast crew Sunday Night Football. Packers-Bears at Lambeau. You can watch that, of course, on TSN up here. Speaking of the NHL, we don't really have any clarity on when they're going to return, but at some point we believe it's going to happen. Do you have a number in mind in terms of games that you're hoping for, that would make it a legitimate season, whether it's, 40, 50, 60, or are you just okay with dropping the puck at any point and let's play and get to the playoffs and make it feel like a normal hockey season again?
Yeah. Well, I think number one is going to be the safety of the players. How are we going to do this? Because, it's not going to be the same situation we saw, as you guys know, during the playoffs. But, yeah, I'd love to see 60 games. That would be awesome if we could start January 1. I don't know that that's going to happen. It's probably unrealistic to think that that's the target date. But I know as soon as they're ready to go, they'll try and maximize and get in as many games as they can. And that's the exciting part. I remember in the years we've had lockouts. I mean, it's fun because the second they drop the puck when the season starts, it's a dogfight to the finish. So every single game matters even more than it would in October and November of a regular season. So no matter when it starts, we'll see a great product on the ice and teams gunning for the finish line right out of the gate. But I hope it's 60. I mean, realistically, we're probably looking at a little bit less than that. And I'm curious to see how they do it. We've all heard about the different bubble situations, and it's going to take a sacrifice on behalf of the players to agree to this. And I know we all know they're the greatest athletes in the world to cover, and will do their best to get the right deal in place. But it's got to be safe for everybody, and that includes families that are left behind at home during this time. So just a lot of uncertainty, but I'm hoping we get it going. And the NHL did a great job with the playoffs. I have no doubt they're going to figure this one out too.
Well, that's where I was going to go. I think, we all share the same sentiment that the NHL did a fantastic job in the bubble and the entertainment value was fantastic. And how was your experience through it all as far as just watching the games and really feeling that excitement? Because I think everyone kind of experienced it differently. For me, once the game got going, I didn't really notice no fans. I didn't really notice the lack of emotion in the building. I don't know. How did you perceive it?
No, I totally agree with you, Noodles. I mean, I thought the players were playing as if it was a normal regular season game in front of, 30,000-40,000 fans in the arena. So, being in the studio, we don't hit the road typically anyway until the Stanley Cup final. I'll hit the road during the conference final, and obviously our broadcast team is very different than that. But the studio crew, we're in the studio anyway. I think the biggest difference for me was 5 games a day and being in the studio from 9 a.m. until 2 a.m. and wondering what is going on. I saw enough hockey, that's for sure. But, I think the Stanley Cup final was really when it hit me that this is totally not normal. It was weird doing a game in the studio, not being on site. We always do an incredible pregame show and the venue is great everywhere we go. The cities are great. The travel, I mean, you guys know half the fun of being a sports broadcasters being there and feeling it and breathing it and then traveling to the next city and doing it all over again and running into colleagues and bumping into them at dinners. And that element was gone, and it was sad to me. And then to watch the cup be hoisted with no fans and no family there to celebrate, I just felt bad. I felt bad for the guys. I'm glad they got the opportunity to celebrate in Tampa when they got home, and it was just different. But that's when I really felt it. Other than that, I mean, I thought the NHL did an amazing job from an entertainment perspective, which we see at the All-Star Games and we see at the Winter Classics. But give credit to Steve Mayer and his crew. I mean, you were watching those games, and the banners on the side, and you know, even like the times they would flash to the family members of these players if they'd score a goal. It was really, really well done. So, yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, well, hopefully we get back there sooner rather than later. And you're one of the lucky ones. You're going to be on the road this weekend. It's going to be an awesome night. No fans, but it's still Lambeau Field. And
that's right.
Yeah, and enjoy that.
No cheeseheads when I'm driving in. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very strange, especially with the Bears too, right? Like, it doesn't get any bigger than that on a Sunday night. Would have just been massive.
Well, it'll be massive in its own way. The way everything this year has just been a little bit different. So yep. We'll roll with it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you again Sunday night. Catherine Tappan from NBC should be a part of the broadcast team, Packers, Bears. We look forward to that. We look forward to seeing
you
back with the NHL and NBC, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Be well, guys.
You got it. There's Catherine Tappan from NBC. And, yeah, that's going to be a cool gig. She's done, as she said, like almost everything in the business, but Sunday Night Football, Packers, Bears, NBC, that is the number one show on TV, you know, week in, week out. So that's going to be cool.
She's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, you worked with her. I worked with her a ton at the NHL Network. She's fantastic. So it's kind of been neat to see her rise onto into football and you know, on the big stage down in the States, because she's an absolute pro and she's so good at it.
Yeah, she's a legend. She's like Duffy or like any of those unbelievable broadcasters you work with. Andy Petrillo's the same way.
Yep,
they never, ever, ever screw up. And they have the ability, like, you know, Hayes, when you're talking, doing that back panel on the deadline, when someone's in your ear, they have the ability, when that person just disappears and there's no connection, to totally understand what's going on and know when to go to commercial without any knowledge or what the hell's going on. That's when you can tell that they're a superstar, and she's definitely that.
Yeah, she is.